Welcome to the Humanergy Leadership Podcast. My name is David Wheatley. We're here to talk leadership in small, bite-sized, and practical chunks. Enjoy.
Today, we're looking to explore some various options that teams have for decision-making, as well as would like to provide you some ideas on how you can support you and your team's ability to make good decisions. Today's content has been developed over many years at Humanergy, both working with our clients directly in supporting them in making decisions, as well as our own experience working on a team. In addition, it is worth noting an additional resource that I know has shaped some of my own thinking on group decision-making. And that resource is a chapter out of the book, Crucial Conversations, called Move to Action. And I will say, when I first read this book, I always thought it was really interesting that the authors would include a section dedicated to group decision-making. And then when I stepped back a bit and I thought about both my own experience on teams, as well as facilitating a lot of teams to try and make decisions, what I realized is, this group decision-making, team decision-making, can be really quite difficult at times, emotional. It sometimes even serves to unite and or divide a team in those moments. So I do believe this topic has far-reaching implications for you and your teams to become and remain a high-performing team. If you've been attending any of our First Friday series, you are very likely familiar with the What Great Teams Do Great model. And I bring up this because we believe that great teams invest in alignment upfront around both the setup and the planning of work in order to enhance their ability for the team to work better together. So specific to decision-making in its most simple form, a great team should answer the question, as a team, how are we going to go about making decisions? And I would offer this question is applicable to if it's an intact team, maybe it's a project team of peers, and maybe even it's the team called you and your supervisor. You are a team. And so I really do believe the great teams are aligned not only on how they're going to make the decisions, but they become really wise about which decision-making method they're going to use and in what situations. So let's start by exploring a framework that we can use around group decision-making. It's going to start with a simple continuum. And at one end of the continuum, one person on the team can make the decision. And at the other end, everybody on the team is involved in the decision-making. And what we know is there are pros and cons of these two approaches. When one person on the team makes the decision, it certainly speeds up the process itself. And yet it could risk lack of understanding, or it could risk lack of buy-in to the decision. If we go to the other end, called a consensus decision-making model, everyone on the team is involved with and can agree to the decision. And what we can get is far greater buy-in with this method. However, we may lose some valuable time. So just to use this continuum at the outset, there are two variables specifically I'm calling out about group decision-making. One is it's a matter of efficiency. So how can we make the decision as quickly as possible? And then part two, there's an effectiveness part of decision-making, which is what decision can we make that leads to the most buy-in support among the team? And then I would offer there's a third variable into the mix besides time and buy-in, and that is, what's going to actually lead to the best decision? And interesting enough is the answer to the method that leads to the best decision can actually exist anywhere along that continuum. So if one person happens to be the subject matter expert, then they alone could make at least a good, if not a better decision than an entire group. One person making the decision may also work well when others on the team are less impacted by that decision, if people on the team have trust in the decision maker, or even if the decision is of less consequence overall. However, if the issue starts getting more complex, it may require more people to be involved in order to generate better solutions. So when teams are attempting to answer this question of how will we make decisions, often teams come to the conclusion of, well, it depends. It's situational and it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. And it comes down really to critical thinking around questions such as how much time do we have to make this decision? What level of buy-in do we need for this decision? And then lastly, what method will actually get us to the best decision? So let's go back to the continuum of one person and everyone involved in making the decision. And these are really the two ends of the continuum, but other methods exist within it. In the middle of this continuum is voting. And we live in a democracy, so we're quite familiar with the idea of each person gets to represent what they believe is best. And as the saying goes, majority rules. The option with most votes wins, and that becomes the decision. On this continuum placed between one person and voting is often known as a consult model of decision making, which involves soliciting ideas and inputs and views from others before making the final decision. So, for example, a team leader may ask for everybody on the team's input about a decision, but ultimately they still own the final decision and would communicate that accordingly. And both of these methods of voting and consult have their own pros and cons. So they certainly can save time compared to the full-blown consensus model, and there is greater engagement and input from others. There also remains some watch-outs and downsides in which what happens to people's buy-in when the option that you wanted does not get selected. So I'm going to offer there's one other method to consider, and it's really not at the far end of the continuum around consensus, but it's also not voting. And this idea around that is you don't have to be at 100% agreement. And that's how I'm going to define consensus. You don't have to have everybody in the group at 100% agreement. I would even offer, and to put it bluntly, sometimes trying to get a group at 100% agreement is a complete waste of time, right? And sometimes it's not even realistic to make that happen. So at Humanergy, we define this other decision-making method as 70%, 100%. And what we believe is it's a helpful method for groups to make decisions when they want to make decisions together in order to be efficient, in order to be effective, and try and get to some of the best decisions. And what it does is it starts by helping people separate out two concepts. One is agreement. So, how is it that a person thinks or feels about the decision itself? And then part two is their level of commitment to a decision, which is their buy-in or their willingness to support it. And so, certainly, agreement and commitment have correlation in that the higher percentage agreement, it makes sense that the higher people would support or buy into the decision. But what this particular method also means is you do not need to be at 100% agreement. You can actually be at 70% or even less to get to 100% committed to a decision. And when I say committed to a decision, what I mean is that a person literally can make a choice to support a decision and work hard to implement it versus undermine it or badmouth it or disregard it, or when it doesn't go well, throw darts at it and say, well, that wasn't the decision I wanted anyway. I believe it is unlocking for people to understand that agreement and commitment are actually differing concepts. In theory, I actually could be closer to 0% agreement about the decision, and I could still make the choice to be 100% committed to that decision. So, for example, when it's a decision that doesn't impact or matter to me as much, or maybe when my entire team wants to go a different direction and I'm willing to sacrifice and support my team in that instance. So I've seen this idea of 70%, 100% work really quite well in instances. For example, I've worked with a leadership team that historically it was painstaking to help them make decisions, right? They would struggle with it. And once we introduced this method, it was really a dramatic turn for them. in terms of the amount of time they could get to a good decision and actually get full support among the team. I've also used it in instances where coworkers and I would be facilitating groups together, and we'd have to make a decision on the fly, live and in the moment, if we're going option A or option B with a group. And this framework allows us to actually simply state what's the percentage in which I agree with option A and option B, and what level of commitment, what's the percentage of commitment I have to those two options. I would offer my own experience. It greatly reduces the emotion in decision-making, and it creates a far greater understanding of what's important to those involved in the decision-making process. So a couple things. Keep in mind, this process, it's not a vote 7 out of 10 people or 70% majority. I often describe it as, imagine individually each person has a power bar like in a video game, and that at least 70% of their power bar is actually filled up, which means it meets most of their criteria for a good decision. In other words, I can support this decision even if it isn't exactly what I wanted. So in practice, what this actually looks like is that a group discusses an issue and they've identified a potential decision, and that the meeting facilitator would ask, is anyone in this group, I often frame it as, is anyone in this group not at least 70% agreement, right? And that people can raise their hand and identify that. So if someone is not at 70% individual agreement, then we have options. The person clarify both what percent of agreement they are at, as well as the percent of commitment that they are at. Or the person can also explain more about why they aren't at 70% and what it would take to get there. This may lead to further dialogue, maybe even a refinement of the decision itself. And I would offer, in some cases, not everybody ends up at 70% agreement. And in those cases, we simply ask them to either A, commit to the decision, and or we default to one of the other decision-making methods on this continuum. Either way, this particular method allows for dissenting opinions to be identified and considered, and it invites those who have the dissenting opinions to be on board with the rest of the group's decision. It's a great way to be efficient, effective, as well as get to some of the best decisions possible. In summary, my hope for today is that the ideas that we actually talked about specific to decision-making are applicable for you, not only on your work teams, but also any volunteer groups that you're a part of, and all the various decisions that we make with friends and family, what trip we're going on and what that would look like, even down to the daily decisions of what's for dinner. The reality is the potential for group decision-making is around all around us. And the better that we understand what decision-making method best fits for that situation, the better we can work as a team. So thank you, and best wishes in those decisions.
That was the Humanergy Leadership Podcast. My name's David Wheatley. For further information about Humanergy, go to humanergy.com or check out our latest book, What Great Teams Do Great, from all good bookstores. Have a good one. Stay healthy.